Hello and welcome to the Birdie and Bass podcast, episode 17. I'm Bass and with me is Birdie.
How you going?
And in this episode, we're going to discuss what games are coming out for the rest of the year. Pretty much talking about next-gen games, so anything that's releasing from 10th of November, 12th of November through to the rest of the year. Some of this stuff's probably going to be double-ups because it seems to be the whole... what are we calling it? Cross-gen?
Practically 99% of stuff coming out in the next 6 months is going to be cross-gen.
Yeah, well, like you've looking down the thing, first game of 12 minutes, I've never heard of it, so we'll skip over that one.
It's pretty good.
Is that the one where you got like 12 minutes to do the game and then if you die and reset again?
Yeah, it's like Groundhog Day.
Okay, I remember that one.
But
yeah,
you have not prior knowledge of everything that happens, so you get further and further before you die again.
And then you got Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I'm actually going to get, but I just don't know what version I'm going to get this time. I think it's probably going to come down to what if Birdie's playing it and whoever else is playing it, whether we sort of grind through it together.
I finished Assassin's Creed Origins now, plus all the DLC for it. So if I can get through Odyssey quick enough, it might be like.
I'm not too stressed about getting it day one. I know that.
Yeah, like I'll be honest, I haven't pre-ordered it yet. There's three very good reasons for that. One, I haven't started Odyssey yet. Two, there is so many freaking editions of this game, I don't even know which one I should get. And that kind of goes into reason number three. I recently picked up all the DLC for Assassin's Creed Origins and Assassin's Creed Odyssey for like $10 because they had an Ubisoft sale digitally and I cleaned up.
Yeah, that's why I'm like thinking about if I'm going to get it, I'll just get the base game. Or yeah, my thing is just to buy the games I'm actually going to play right now and then leave the rest until Christmas sale.
Mm.
I think that's when I'll probably go through and have a bit of a buy up is when the Christmas sale is coming through. So we got Borderlands 3 coming across. So,
well, that's easy. You've already got it.
Yeah, still got to get back and finish that one.
Bridge. I think I'm going to restart it.
Yeah, I think I am as well because I've learnt how a lot of the because I haven't really played through the first two.
You haven't? Okay.
No, I remember we started the first one. We actually should go back and keep going through that.
I'll smash through all of them with you.
And just get the game mechanics happening a bit better. I think going into three, I didn't get my loadout the way I wanted, so to speak.
Mm.
Then obviously there's the Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War's coming out. I've been playing a bit of the beta on that, and I mean enjoying it.
I was enjoying it until they ruined it today.
Oh, by just releasing all the guns at top levels.
Yeah, like I was sitting there, I'm like, sweet, I've almost maxed out my AK-47. Sweet, I'll go on to the next. Okay, everything's just max level. It literally happened while I was playing it.
Yeah, which
is so annoying.
Sort of defeats the purpose. Like, that's what I like about the game is you start off with a gun and you evolve it up to how you want it, and then you go and go play a different gun and all the rest of it.
At the same time, like, I understand it's a beta. They want to test stuff, and obviously they just wanted to test that there was no, like, attachment glitches or something like that, and they wanted to see that nothing was overpowered, like certain setups and things like that. So they just let everyone go gung-ho. Fair enough. But, man, I was enjoying it until that point.
There's some pretty good maps that they've come up with as well.
That desert map is awesome.
Oh, I'd reckon that desert map allows a lot of... I'm waiting to see if that desert map actually comes into the COD Pro scene or not. But it allows you to have snipers but also get the close combat by going through the cave area. So I do enjoy that map because you can do the different sorts of methods of attacking it. It's not like the map where you come into a map and it's just you know you're just going to be running into snipers. Doesn't mean it'll matter which way you go.
Yeah, that contraband map, I think, is a little bit crappy. I don't think the angles are quite right on it, personally.
The Miami one, I don't mind.
The Miami one's good. I like that one. That's a nice close quarters combat. And the angles are really good. There's some high up sniper areas, and there's some very good close back combat down below, and there's different elevations.
And you can have some fun by flanking down the side in the dark and no one knows you got behind them.
Hmm. Apart from that, the other one I've really played a lot is that like one in the Russian kind of square where we're playing domination.
Every time I've played in get to maps or that, and that one comes up for vote. Everyone must love that Russian map because that's what it always gets voted.
I didn't like it at the start, but it's kind of growing on me now.
I think it's one of those things as you start playing the maps and getting used to them and know where they are and everything like that. So
I still can't stand contraband. I play it like four times a day. It doesn't feel right. It's off.
You're always going to get the ones that you don't like. Then what else we got? We got Destiny 2 and then an expansion coming out.
Yes. I'm actually kind of excited for that. I kind of want to really get back into Destiny, but I know it'll take over my life.
I actually want to go through and grind the last two expansions because I haven't actually done them yet. So
yeah, me neither.
And then you got Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition. Then you got that's obviously
only on PlayStation.
No, that's coming to Xbox as well, apparently.
Oh, really? I thought that was a PlayStation 5 exclusive.
From what I've seen, it's coming up on list for Xbox. You got Dirt 5.
That's getting some really good reviews on frame rates, but apparently the resolution is not up to par.
We'll give them time. They'll probably give you a day one patch for it or something like that.
I'm just going off Digital Foundry's findings.
Of course, Fortnite's going to be coming through on it. Forza Horizon 4.
Yay.
Gears 5's getting a patch, obviously, and Gears Tactics. Hyperscape, I don't get why that game. I'm sorry, I think you've missed the ballpark there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ubisoft. That game's fucking trash. You've got to change the entire. If it felt like what Rainbow Six Siege feels like with gunplay, like that kind of aiming sensitivity and movement,
I think it's just too. It's too fast. They're trying to be too of a fast-paced game. They need to back some of the mechanics off a little bit, I think.
I don't mind the fast pace. It's just they just didn't change anything from mouse and keyboard to controller, and it's impossible to hit anything with consistency.
Yeah, so they need to patch the controller side of things.
I actually adjusted my Elite Series 2 controller to be like a sludge packet. Like I tried it on Apex and I could barely move my aiming cursor. Went to Hyperscape and it was so much better. But you don't want to do that.
Then the others, you got Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Yeah, that was that Gods and Monsters game. Then they've renamed it because apparently there was a copyright breach.
Okay.
But it's another one from Ubisoft. There's a lot of Assassin's Creed style things in there. It's just, it's one of the Assassin's Creed teams wanting to be more mythological than historically accurate.
Oh, see what happens. It's
pretty good, but no one's happy with the name change.
Then you got your usual Madden NFL 21. You got Maneater getting a patch up to Series X. Marvel's Avengers, that's been a little bit hit and miss. I've heard some good things, some bad things. Not most of the bad stuff's about the fact that you got to grind a lot to level up a lot of characters.
Yeah, apparently the end game is absolutely horrifying. But at the same time, people are saying the gameplay's a lot better. So it's one of those things.
I think it's one of those ones I'll wait for it to be on sale and might nab it then.
I think it might be one of those things that I just completely fucking ignore, like Fortnite.
Yeah, true. Could be always that one. NBA 2K21. So it's just.
It's more microtransactions.
Hopefully, it's not another one like the friggin' FIFA 2021, which is a copy and paste from FIFA 2020, which they've even put it in the bloody blurb that it is just a copy and paste with an updated roster.
Oh, that was the Switch version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Observer System Redux.
No idea what that is.
Neither do I. Ori and the Will of the Wisps is getting an update.
Yeah, it's going to be running 120 frames.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Overcooked's coming up. Paradise Lost.
Personally, I think Overcooked should run 120 frames as well because it needs that accuracy.
Got to know when you're burning that food. Planet Coaster Console Edition.
That would be good.
Pori Pori Tetris 2, which is like a Nintendo game coming across, isn't it?
Puyo Puyo Tetris. Yeah, it's absolutely massive in Japan. It's on all sorts of devices.
Is that the one with the drum kit?
I've seen people play it with a drum kit, but no.
What's the one that's on Switch that's got the drum kit?
I have no idea. You might have to look that one up. It might be a version of it because there's so many different versions of Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Okay. I think it might be not the Tetris, might be something else. It might be like a drum game or something that you get in Japan. It comes with a drum kit for the Switch.
Mm.
Rainbow Six Quarantine, that's a DLC, isn't it?
No, it's a single player version of Rainbow Six. It's not a multiplayer stage, which I prefer personally because I loved the old Rainbow Six games.
Yeah, so I might look into that, seeing that's a single player one.
Or co-op even.
Samurai Showdown, Scorn, Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves is getting a bit of a bad rap at the moment because there's a lot of content creators are leaving there because of
crap ass players that just ruin your fucking day.
Yeah, well, apparently there's like squads of people that are just going into the game deliberately just to wreak havoc and go around and just they're not actually playing the game. All they want to do in the game is just go and sink people's ships and shoot them and stuff like that. That's all they're trying to do is just make it annoying for everyone.
So pretty much what they should do now, since Microsoft owns Bethesda and in vain owns Todd Howard, they sent Todd Howard to the UK to go to Rare, and he teaches them how to stop grief as an online game because Fallout 76 still has the best anti-griefing stuff I've ever seen, and it works.
Oh, well, maybe they need to implement that in Sea of Thieves.
Exactly.
Tetris Effect Connected.
I want to play that, actually.
The Ascent, the Falconeer. I'm trying to work out whether that's because there's the Falconeer on PS4, which was a VR game.
So I know the one you're thinking of, but I don't think that's called the Falconeer. I know it's the one where you got to like capture things and you're flying as a bird.
Yeah, and you level yourself up and everything else like that. I thought that was just from the same people. Might be something else then.
I have no idea what the Falconeer is.
The Medium, really no interest in playing that one.
No, we'll get Diamond to play it on stream and sit back with some popcorn and just laugh at her screaming.
Warhammer, I've never played one of those games, probably never I'd will.
Never play it on console, never.
Watch Dogs Legionnaire.
I am really excited for that.
Are you just buying basic or are you going all the way up? Because that's another one like it's one everything of those else that's coming out from Ubisoft where you get friggin' five different versions of the game.
I think it's going to be another one that I'm not going to get day one, or if I do, it's going to be a base version.
Yeah, I'm sort of sitting on the fence as to how many games I get day one or whether I just get the games I know I'm going to play and then start playing through the back catalogue a bit more.
Well, this is the great thing. Like, I know it sounds bad that there's like no real exclusives for Microsoft and everything like that, but I want the new powerful console and I want to see how my old games run on it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even gonna buy a new game day one, to be honest.
The fact you've got Game Pass and everything, you'll be able to get Series X. I have
470 360 Xbox games that are all going to work on this fucking thing.
Yeah, and then the last one that I got on the list is Yakuza Like a Dragon. I've still got the previous Yakuza games to play through.
On PlayStation?
Oh, no, they're on Xbox. Oh,
they're on Game Pass. Yeah. My bad, I forgot.
So been looking at those ones. It's pretty similar. Obviously, there's ones that are going to be on PlayStation 5 as well as that. I'll just pick out the ones that I see that aren't really...
Honestly, I'm just quickly, I want to see you play Astro's Playroom.
Why?
Because it looks awesome.
I actually haven't watched it. I should watch the trailer for it then. I haven't actually watched it. I thought, because when I looked at that, I thought that was the whole VR thing. I thought that was just a VR upgrade.
No, for... it's preloaded into every PlayStation 5. So you already have it on there for free.
And okay.
It's the one where it teaches you all the different things of how the controller works. That was the one that Jeff Knightley played on stream like ages ago. They like gave him a PlayStation 5 for the night and then took it away from him like as soon as he was done with Astro's Playroom.
Okay, so it'll show me how the, what is it, haptic controller works.
Yeah, the haptics and the fact he was blowing on the microphone and stuff and things like that. And I think you should play that one.
I'll
get it for free in the box anyway. I think it'd be great to play with Jack, honestly.
We'll see then. So the other ones that are picking up that aren't, what have we got there? Bug Snacks.
I forgot what that is.
We got Destruction All-Stars. That looked pretty interesting.
It did, actually.
And then that's shown up in the video that they did about the UI for the PlayStation 5, which actually looks 100 times better than what the PlayStation 4 one did.
Yeah, it actually looks usable.
And the whole picture-in-picture and stuff like that is quite good.
I was listening to a podcast about a patent that's coming into that.
Okay.
But continue, please.
Then you got Godfall and Haven seem to be the other two that I'm seeing on here. Jet the Far Shore. Obviously, the big one that they're outlining is Spider-Man, Miles Morales, that's coming out.
Honestly.
That looks, I'm intrigued to play that. And the fact that the save from PS4 to PS5 for the remastered doesn't carry over kind of sucks. But the other side of it is I really did need to start that game again because the way I've gone about doing it wasn't the best way of doing it, of like trying to clean out areas, because I've sort of finished the game and now I'm going back into areas where there's harder people than I should have had.
Fair enough.
What else we got in here? Sackboy. Sackboy actually looks interesting. Looking at the video. Yeah,
Sackboy's a good game. Like, he's from Little Big Planet.
Yeah, I remember that from that. So I'm intrigued to load that one up and have a look at it and see what it's like. I think my kids probably get a kick out of it.
Do you remember they brought out that Yarny game? It looks similar to Sackboy, except it was a little red yarn.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm surprised that didn't go further. I can't believe they made one Yarny game. I know they're an indie developer, but I can't believe they made one Yarny game, which was actually a good game, and then they made two freaking Knack games, and that was shit.
Yeah, because there's still Ratchet and Clank one as well coming out, isn't there?
Day one is Ratchet and Clank, the new one, which you missed on here, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, which didn't come up on here, which is a surprise. But it's in the PlayStation Plus collection, but I don't think that's the new one then.
No, that's the remake of the original, which is on PS4.
Yeah. So,
which is still a great game.
Well, that's the other part of it, is obviously just finishing off that list, there's Worms Rumble, which I'm surprised that's not coming to Xbox, but anyway.
Yeah, Team 17, that's a bit weird.
But the other part of it is sort of my Sony's half-assed attempt, I'd say, at doing a Game Pass, which albeit they have put a decent collection of games in there, but it's like they've taken all their exclusives and just thrown them into a PlayStation Plus collection. So it's a lot of games I want to play. Like, I haven't actually played Batman Arkham Knight, so.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I've got it right here on Xbox if you want it. But like, it's not just exclusives, which to me was a little bit weird. But at the same time, a lot of them make sense to me. Like, this should be the list of games that everyone wants to play from PlayStation 4 era. I don't get why Batman Arkham Knight's on there. And I don't get why Battlefield 1's on there.
Neither do I. But because the rest of them I start to work out. Like, I still, to this day, I've got Detroit Beyond Human and I don't think I've actually played it. I think I've installed it and I've not played it.
I have played it a few times at conferences with developers. And honestly, I found that more entertaining than playing it at home.
Okay. I've got part of the way through God of War. That's one game that I do want to finish, but I'm like, maybe I'll just load it up on the PS5 and see how it goes on there.
They put Persona 5 on there.
Yeah, and there's also
the normal edition or the gold edition?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's just going to be the normal edition. They've got Monster Hunter World, but I thought you needed a subscription for that.
No, not Monster Hunter.
Oh, it's Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 14 is the online one that you need a subscription for.
And then they put the 15 version in here as well, in this one.
Yeah. Which that was a big hit, so.
Last of Us Remastered, The Last Guardian.
Last Guardian, Until Dawn, Thief's End. Technically, I think they should have put the entire Uncharted series in there.
The whole, yeah, but I don't know. How do you go remastering the first three up to PS5? I think they're probably...
Well, they already did it for PS4. Just put that version on there. It doesn't have to be a remaster. None of these are.
Yeah, it's true. Just got to upgrade it to PS5.
Just unlock the frame rates. Days Gone, I think, will work incredibly well on PS5 with their spawning technology. For simple fact that all the tricks they had to pull to make that thing work on a PlayStation 4 with all like their zombie walker things was absolutely amazing. If they had more powerful hardware that could hit the frame rates that they really desired, I think the game would be incredible.
Yeah, well, the only thing that's worrying me at the moment buying the PS5 digital edition is how much hard drive space I'm going to have for these games.
Well, 825, so that's what, 600 and something after the UI?
Yeah. And then I'm going to have to lash out another $400 or $500 for a bloody expansion drive.
An NVMe drive.
So,
and then open it up and put it in and then have your warranty voided because they don't tell you.
Yeah,
I could see them doing that, honestly. No, they've done it in the past.
Not going to happen. I will just delete and download or hopefully plug an external hard drive in and copy over to that and copy back. Xbox, on the other hand, I did pre-order an expansion card. So
did I. Just, and I'm going to lick it, so I've got to buy a second one.
Just want to try it out. My biggest thing for that is the fact that it allows me to take games from one Xbox to another easily.
Yeah, well, I mean, with your streaming set up in the outside office and stuff like that, it's absolutely perfect for you.
Yep.
I want to get one that's got a keychain cover so I can carry around my keys, so I can take it around to my friends and look cool. I'm not going to be gaming or anything. I just want to look cool.
The old...
like I did in the 90s.
The old 360 days.
Or even that, yeah.
Well, the Xbox days, but I'd still think that there's a decent set of games for people to get going with when these consoles launch.
Like, probably the first thing I'm going to load up on a Series X is going to be Apex Legends because I'm that sad.
I heard that they're not running at 120.
There's still no confirmation. Like,
the ones I've heard is it's going to be a constant 60.
Well, it's like 60 now.
No drop 60.
Okay. Even with like the display capture up and everything like that, the lowest mine's ever dropped is 59.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they will unlock 120. I don't know.
And it runs at 140 on PC.
Yeah, so I don't see any reason why they can't unlock 120. That's what I'm hoping, like, your Destiny, your Call of Duties, your Apexes, your Fortnites, Even Gears, I'd love to see Gears get up to 120.
Mm.
But like, the others,
I really don't care about 4K 60. I would prefer like 1080, 120 frames.
Yeah.
But nothing's been said about Apex yet. Like, there's a lot of Reddit chatter and stuff like that and all sorts of conflicting things. I just want to see a blog post from Respawn saying this is what's going to happen.
Biggest thing is going to be is you're going to have the corresponding hardware.
What's that, a screen?
Yeah, well, you're going to have a decent screen or a decent TV to go with these consoles, which
I mean,
I'm betting day one when you walk into the when those consoles release, I reckon when you walk into JB Hi-Fi, they're just going to have rows of 4K TVs on sale.
Oh yeah, I would not surprise me. If you look on like IGN or Digital Foundry, or I think GameSpot also has it happening. They've done like their picks for the best gaming TVs and gaming monitors for the next series of consoles, and they made sure they all have 120 hertz on them.
Yeah, well, buying a 27-inch 144-hertz monitor isn't that hard.
No, it's not.
Even 165-hertz one's not that hard.
No, it's really not. Like, if you're trying to go to a 4K one, then yeah, it is, and it's expensive and hard to find, and you'll find that the response time is actually quite large compared to other ones. Like, it's a little bit ridiculous. But, I mean, that's what people play on. Personally, I prefer a 1 millisecond response time, and that's what I've got. But I've also got 2K monitors that run 120 hertz.
Yeah, see, that's I'm in the trying to work out whether to go a 27-inch 4K or go to a 27-inch 144 hertz 1 millisecond and just go for that.
Yeah. I mean, think of it this way. You're probably still going to have an advantage over everyone else because they're all going to be playing on a TV.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
But, I mean, it's the Xbox One X has variable frame rate selection now. Like, it detects what your TV is capable of, and that's what it sets itself to.
Yeah.
So, Series X should be able to do it. PlayStation 5 should be able to do it. The games should be able to do it. If someone only has a 60 hertz screen, then that's their fucking fault.
Yeah.
They obviously don't care. They obviously don't have the worry about it, and they probably don't even realize it, but they're still going to play the same game as us. We're just going to get a better refresh rate. We're going to get faster frame rates. And, you know, it's just like PC gaming. You get the person with the better hardware is going to win if they've got any skill whatsoever.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it comes down to your internet connection in Australia and what your ping is.
Yeah, so in other words, we're all fucking trash anyway.
Yeah, unless you're going to get fiber to your house.
Man, even with fiber to my house, it's still freaking trash. All the bloody servers are on the opposite side of the country.
Yeah, I know.
People on YouTubers and Twitch streamers bitch and moan when they've got a freaking 20 millisecond ping. The minimum we can get in WA is 50.
Yep, 50 on a good day.
Exactly. So stuff off.
So, but I mean, yeah, the end of the day is I'm intrigued to see when these games come out, what other games get announced next year, sort of thing. Because all these developers would sure as hell be in full production mode of games that coincide to this next new console coming out.
Like, there's two things I really want to see. I really want to see more of Fable that Playground Games is making. So I just can't wait for that to come back. But the other thing is, I just want to know what the Initiative is working on, which is Microsoft's quad AAA studio that's meant to be their answer to Santa Monica Studio for Sony.
I guess we have to find out. Wait till E3 time next year.
Yeah, if E3 even exists.
My impression now of what E3 is going to be is just going to be a digital only.
Instead of being a week of events, it's going to be a digital only month.
Well, it's just going to be a Microsoft and Sony digital event as far as I reckon.
Yeah, I don't think Sony will ever go back to E3 personally in a physical format.
Yeah.
They've dropped out 2 years in a row. I mean, everyone dropped out this year technically, but Sony dropped out way before that.
Yep.
And their reasoning was that they don't see the point.
But the other side of it is you've got to give your customers some hype. You've got to show them whether it needs to be turned into more of like what Nintendo Gamescom? And stuff like that, where it's like it's a 3-monthly thing.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I do like the way that Nintendo like give us information with their mini directs and stuff like that. But personally, like, I think the problem with E3 and the way it's been going is it's always been a media frenzy type thing. Like, it's meant for the industry. It's not meant for consumers. It's when they started showing consumers what it's like online, and then E3 is like, oh, we need more money. We'll start letting consumers in the door. And then it's just waiting lines because obviously these industry people, like the media and all that, they need to have priority. They need to be able to see this stuff so they can make their money and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But I was listening to Larry Herb on a podcast, and the way he was talking about E3 compared to something like Gamescom in Germany was it's night and day. Like, E3 is a massive showcase for the millions of viewers at home and stuff like that. And the very select few, like with their Xbox Fan Fest and things like that, they're like their VIP people. And everyone has the opportunity to do that at some point. But it needs to stay as an industry thing. Otherwise, it loses all meaning, whereas Gamescom has to be for the consumer. Otherwise, that's going to lose all its meaning. And that's why those two events are so big in so different ways.
If I had to pick between, if someone said to me, you can go to only one, I think I'd probably pick Gamescom.
Mm, exactly. Like, again, with like Larry Herb, he's like, he enjoys Gamescom more because he gets to relax and talk with people that he knows that like he used to work with or he's worked with in the past, and even meet fans and stuff like that. And it's very relaxed and fun and like a hype type situation. Whereas E3, like, there's people, like fans trying to talk to him, stuff like that. And he needs to be on stage in 3 minutes, like across the freaking venue. And it's shouldn't be mixed like that.
Yeah, that's it.
And they enjoy what they do at E3. Well, he enjoys what he does at E3. He enjoys like telling the masses of people on the internet and stuff like that, like, this is the new console, whatever, and working with the Xbox team and things like that. But when there's a mixture of people that he's got to contend to online, and a mixture of people that are rushing through the door because they bought a freaking ticket, and they're mixed in with all these media people, it doesn't make sense anymore.
No, it's too, they need to do the media side of things for 2 or 3 days beforehand, then open it to the public.
Well, that's what PAX does. And EB Expo used to do the same thing. The media outlets all go there for 2 days beforehand. They got 48 hours to talk to stuff like that. And I haven't done it with a PAX, but I've done it with EB Expo. It's walking through that whole convention, and all you see is just a few media people, and then all the company representatives from like Sony and Microsoft and stuff like that. When they outnumber the amount of people actually going to see the stuff in there, it is awesome.
Yeah. So, anyways, that was our wrap up of what the games are that are coming out that we've know about for the rest of, well, foreseeable future.
We'll say launch window.
Yeah, we'll go with launch window on that one. But if you want to get hold of us, it's Birdie and Bass Podcast at essentialgamer.com.au. It's EssentialGamerAU on Instagram and Facebook, and EssentialGamerAU on Twitter. We'll be posting the links in the description for this podcast. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.